Did Barclays of Britain mess with your electric bill?
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. British banking giant Barclays is again in hot water with American regulators. Last year, the bank had to cough up more than $400 million for rigging interest rates. Now the bank has been fined nearly the same amount for allegedly manipulating, of all things, U.S. electricity prices. From London Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The American regulator has claimed that Barclays traders bought and sold contracts to supply power in the US with one aim in mind, to influence a key energy price index. Barclays, it's alleged, then profited by betting on movements in that index. The bank vehemently denies the charge. David Buick is with stockbrokers Panmure Gordon. He says this case has added to the perception on this side of the pond that US regulators only pick on non-American banks.
The underlying problem that we all have with this is that there is a huge feeling that there's been a massive level of discrimination against UK financial institutions.
He points out that only three banks have been fined over the interest rate rigging scandal. Two are British and the other is Swiss. But it's been reported in the case of alleged electricity price rigging, an American bank, JP Morgan, could also be fined. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Profits at Bank of America out today were stronger than expected. The bank's expenses were down, and it did well trading stocks. Intel, of microprocessor fame, reports its profits or losses today. Yahoo's results came out after the market closed yesterday, and sales disappointed some investors. But in pre-market trading this morning, the stock is actually up 1.2%. It's not exactly a new addition to the Phoenix skyline, but there it is in a parking lot, a makeshift camp for homeless people near the official shelter that has run out of room. From the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk, Chrissy Clark tells us why city officials and homeless advocates say the tent city might actually be a useful thing.
Mark Hollerin runs the nonprofit Central Arizona Shelter Services that opened the homeless camp, an asphalt lot, a few porta potties, and some awnings for shade.
This is sort of an overflow to our overflow shelter.
Even though the numbers of chronically homeless in Phoenix have gone down in the last 5 years, this summer, demand at Hollerin's downtown shelters is up. That's partly because police are enforcing the city's ban against sleeping on the streets after complaints from businesses. That's according to Jody Liggett, an advisor to Phoenix Mayor Greg Stanton.
That makes it very hard to conduct business when you have folks lying on the ground in front of your entrance. So they have tightened up enforcement.
Liggett says the parking lot shelter is a way to deal with the consequences of the sleeping ban head on, rather than taking what you might call the leaf blower approach.
Chasing them into another precinct or into another city.
It may not look really good.
That's Mark Hollerin again from the shelter.
But that allows us to say, here's the problem now, what can we do?
One answer, Hollerin says, more affordable housing. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
It's been 4 years since Congress passed its sweeping law to fix the financial system after the great collapse. Even now, regulators still haven't figured out a piece of it, the Volcker Rule. The rule said to big financial companies, if a client wants you to bet his or her money, fine. But financial companies should not make bets for their own profit, because if those go bad, it could bring down the whole shebang. And taxpayers would have to pick up the pieces. I ran this concept past regular Marketplace contributor Alan Sloan, senior editor at large at Fortune magazine.
Well, there's only one problem with that. You explained to me how to differentiate between what is called market making, which is taking a position in something your customer is selling or a customer might want to buy, and gambling with the bank's money.
It wasn't easy for regulators. I think the Volcker Rule turned out to be quite a few pages long.
Yeah, I think the first draft was about 200 pages long, and I got lost about page three. And the problem is, if you have something that complicated, it's impossible to enforce. There actually is a way to deal with this.
You actually have, Alan Sloan, a solution to this insoluble.
and it's not mine. It's a fellow named Tom Honig. He was the head of the Kansas City Fed, and he proposed that banks get out of the business of securities entirely.
And under that proposal, it was banks, not other big investment companies on Wall Street, that would be prevented from trading.
Right.
So we're not saying a Goldman Sachs has to get out of the business of trading.
But it can't be a bank anymore.
So if you want to do trading, you can't be a bank.
Exactly.
In recent days, some of these banks, Goldman Sachs, for instance, reporting fine profits. Do you think we still need to reform the system in this way?
Well, we need to do something because the problem that surfaced in 2008 is still there. Big institutions that are too interconnected to be allowed to fail. What you have to do is get them out of the more dangerous things and have a system where they're restricted enough to be allowed to fail. And when that happens, believe me, the people running them will be much more careful.
Alan Sloan, Senior Editor-at-Large at Fortune Magazine. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And a wild story from the Panama Canal, a Cuban ship laden with sugar, bound for North Korea. Inspectors want aboard, but the crew tries to hold them off with sticks. Under all the sugar, weapons. Old weapons, including anti-aircraft missiles and two ancient MiG fighter jets. Cuba now says it's all old stuff from the middle of the last century, and that it expects all the stuff back after it gets refurbished in North Korea. The investigation is ongoing. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.